This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
The Dan Bernstein Show. Weekdays 9 a.m. to noon on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
You know, I'm going to keep the same stance I always have, Joe. You know, it's not for me to judge somebody. You know, I think he goes out there and does his best. I don't think anybody in the organization or the NBA goes out there and tries to fail. You know, sometimes it's out of your power on, you know, your win-loss record or what happens during the game. So I know for a fact he's tried, he's done his best. You know, and that's all you can ask for sometimes. So as a player, I just go out there, I try to follow the lead, go out there and do my job. You know, on decisions and things like that, I leave that up to higher management. That's not my role in the organization. So I think you knew I was going to answer that correctly.
Do you like Jim Boylan? I don't like him a lot, but he okay. Got some things he can work on. Got some things he can get better at. As a person and as a coach, I'm not going to hate on him. I'm not going to hate the man.
Well, you kind of are, but that's okay. Zach LaVine on June 5th and Daniel Gafford recently on Twitch. We're on Twitch, by the way. Hi, how's it going? Check us out. Yeah, well, about that, about listening to the players and player-focused and player-forward and player-friendly, maybe not so fast. Joe Cowley of the Sun-Times is at Joe Cowley Hoops, and he joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. You're going to be the death of me, Cowley.
A couple hell of endorsements, aren't there?
Right?
Ringing endorsements coming from the player. And it's funny because I just listened back to the other day, I listened back to the Zach LaVine interview I did about Thibodeau, and just the glow in his eye and the excitement of talking about Tibbs and how great of a coach Tibbs was for his career. And, you know, just Zach will never forget that this guy put the ball in his hands as a young guy and said, just go do your thing. And then you hear him talk about Jim, and it's like almost a hostage situation, like this, like it's a video being made by Al Qaeda or something. So completely different, you know. And Zach's not going to rock the boat. Zach's always going to say the right thing. So it's funny to actually hear both of those interviews played.
All right, let me just see if I have the gist of your story correct. I think I do, and as I talk about it, I think I'm going to throw up all over myself here.
You are, but go ahead.
Okay, let me assess the validity of my assessment here. Despite the fact that Arturis Karnišević is said to have full space command, despite the fact that Mark Eversley has talked openly about being player forward, and despite all the reports that the players have actually provided to both of these guys in in-person meetings or in Zoom meetings, the remnants of the previous regime connected to Gar Forman are reflecting the old Gar Forman survival mode by understanding the cross-current dynamics with ownership liking Boylan, with Paxson liking Boylan, that if they feel they can continue to prop up Boylan, it might help their chances to stick around under the new regime, in large part playing to financial reasons to help ownership avoid an avoidable cost. Am I reading this right?
That's very well said. Yes, and there's even further layers to it as far as, all right, so at the end of the day, let's look at just the finances. If it's the finances, we all have bosses, we all have money counters and guys that at the end of the day, this is the business, this is the amount of money. You know, sometimes you would want to go remote and they say, we don't have the money for that. there's nothing you could do about that. So if that is the very reason that Arturis Karnisovas cannot make a move on the coaching staff because his bosses have told him, his ownership has told him, we don't want to spend that money because of the uncertainty, not only with the China situation, but we don't even have the total collateral damage from this coronavirus and what it's actually going to cost us and what next year is going to look like. If there's no fans in the seats next year, a very real possibility, what's the damage there and how much of a hit do we take? So we can't afford that. Well, here's the problem I have with that. So let's just say that's the situation. Then I could say, okay, Arturis is in a no-win situation. I get it. He has to answer bosses. It is what it is. As much as he's been empowered, he now cannot spend. And they haven't even finished building out the front office like they wanted. So maybe finances is the reason. So say that is. That's the situation. I don't believe that because, first of all, I know what the value of the Bulls are. And I know the fact that a couple executives, as I wrote last week, have already said that first-year coaches, who the Bulls are targeting, first-year coaches, the days of handing Fred Hoiberg and Steve Kerr, $25 million over 5 years, that's done. Now we're looking at half of that over 3 years. So it would cost them $4.1 million approximately with eating gyms and hiring a new coach for a head coach to steer this thing in the right direction immediately. And when you're paying guys like Popovich and Doc Rivers $11, $10 million respectively, I just have a hard time knowing the value of the Bulls saying they can't find that money. But say they can. I'm not going to tell Jerry how to spend his money. The thing that makes me nervous is if Arturis, as been reported, and I think KC Johnson even mentioned this, is taking the mentality of, I don't want to go on the clock when I don't have to, then, hell, you're not the guy that I thought you were. You're not the guy that Bulls fans thought you were. And you might as well just be Gar Forman, because that is rote mentality. That is survival 101. That is the problem with this organization the last 15 years, is this survival mentality. So if you don't want to put your ass out there now and go on the clock now, then really, why did they hire you? And that's my fear, is if that's the situation. So, and yes, you do have people from the old regime still saying what they know the Reinsdorfs want to hear. They like Jim, so we like Jim. Survival 101, taught from Gar Forman to the assistant GM straight out of Iowa State, handpicked from Iowa State, still carrying that mentality. That's what should infuriate Bulls fans, is that is still going on, even though so many good steps have been taken. Now all of a sudden things are going backwards.
Oh, I want to just slam my head in a car door after hearing that, because Casey and I went in circles on the semantics of this, Joe, because as he reported it, he's like, yes, Arturis Karnisovas has the full power to do what he wants. However, he has to tell ownership that he's going to do it, because ultimately ownership still has veto power over some of this stuff. So to me, he doesn't have control over this, that either an owner says, do what you want to win us NBA championships, or don't. It's this ambiguity of power, of control, of autonomy that is driving me crazy. Can he do this? Can he not? How much is Paxson still hovering and looking over his shoulder? And Jerry Reinsdorf saying, no, I know you want to do that, but now you can't. I mean, at some point, if you're Arturis Karnisovas, whatever the deal was, you got to say, look, this isn't the job I thought I was taking.
And that's got to be weighing in his head right now. Because here, look. You have as much power as an executive that Jerry Reinsdorf allows you. That's where it all ends. I mean, look at Michael Reinsdorf. Even that Michael went, and to Michael's credit, he went out, he interviewed all these different candidates. But at the end of the day, he had to bring the guy that he wanted. He had to bring the date to meet Dad. That's it. And he even openly said that my dad is still the boss. So you have as much power as Jerry Reinsdorf says you have. And so I don't think it's semantics. I think at the end of the day, everything still has to end up, every major decision still has to go through Jerry on both sides of town. Now, in Michael's idea of ownership, his idea is you hire the right guys, you completely get out of the way. In Jerry's mindset, it's you hire the right people, you get out of the way until I say I have to be in your way.
And so that's what's going on here. At the end of the day, all of this is going to be decided by Jerry Reinsdorf. When you make a big move, whether it's White Sox or Bulls, Jerry has to give the okay. He's still the Don of this family. At the end of, I mean, that's just the way it is. He has to nod his head and say yes or no. And that's the frustration, the frustrating part for Bulls fans, because they were given the idea that this guy, Arturas, is going to come in. Look at the sweeping changes he made. Reinsdorf's are going to stay out of the way. Gar Forman's gone. Ding dong, the witch is dead, blah, blah, blah. But it's really not showing up to be like that. It's really something kind of just same old, same old.
This is playing out like a mini series with some of these characters. And what I can't figure out is, look, Jerry is a very, very, very intelligent man. And
very intelligent.
Very intelligent. If there are, I don't have the names in front of me of the holdovers that you mentioned who are exhibiting the foreman-like survivalist behavior. He knows if people are trying, Jerry knows if people are just trying to protect their own skins. Jerry's got to see through some of the self-serving stuff. You know, why would he side with them unless it's his endless trust in John Paxson, and it's Paxson himself that is the consigliere here? You know, why wouldn't Reinsdorf be smart enough himself to say, Arturas, regardless of what these holdovers think, we brought you in for new energy?
I'll take it a step further to even add another complication to this. My concern is they know there's more than just players that aren't happy with Jim Boylan in that building. It's more than just players. There's more complicated issues around it than just players. But my concern is they know that Jim's hidden bodies, but Jim knows where they've hidden some bodies. So do we want to go into a season where there's not going to be fans to boo Jim in the stands? The media is going to be held at bay because of new ways the media is going to be treated with this coronavirus and your access to the players, and everything is just going to be so distant. Can we get away with this for one more year, appease people, calm people down, so there isn't this, well, I know this happened and this happened, and oh, you allowed this to happen and this happened. Because this is what they did with the Kenny Williams, Ozzie Guillen thing. They both knew where bodies were buried with each other, so they appeased Ozzie by trading him to where he wanted to go, and then they slowly hid Kenny into a better parking spot for money, but out of view of the media on a daily basis. So this is the way he's done things before, and that's my concern. Are there other things going on here where they're trying to get out of this situation as quietly and friction and keep the friction away as much as possible? Because, you know, the bottom line is, if you're going to beat Jim Boylan, next year is the greatest year to coach. You got no one to boo you. You got no one to tell you, you know, get one-on-ones with you and tell you this, this. And your players, the access to the players is going to be really tough to get one-on-ones where they do say stuff. So, you know, ideally they could ride this out one more year and kind of, this is the perfect year to do it.
It just clowns everything that the new
Absolutely.
Blood has said. That's I mean, to me, it's just everything. We're going to be about the players. The players are screaming that they want a new coach. The players are making it so clear that they want a new coach. And to not listen to them in this moment, when you arrive on the job, to not listen to them, to actively go against what they want, how do you recover from that?
And again, does Arturas already hit? Does he already have something bigger in mind where he doesn't really care? Yes, we're players first, but I don't really care about these players. These players really aren't that good. I'm looking for something bigger in 21. So, you know, the Zach LaVine rumors, there's rumors there because there's smoke. These guys all talk. You don't think Zach LaVine is telling Kat, I can't stand this situation, and Kat is telling his old agent, Leon Rose, hey, Zach hates Chicago, and all of a sudden the Knicks are sniffing around Zach? You don't think guys talk like that? Then you're naive, because that's what the NBA is all about. And so what if you're going to move off Zach, you're going to get rid of that $20 million and get an expiring contract for 1 year? You know you got $28 million in Otto Porter Jr. coming off the books after next season. All of a sudden you've got $48 million for a historic 21 free agent class. So I really don't care about Zach's feelings and emotions. And I really don't, and we might get James Wiseman in the draft. So I really don't care about Lauri Markkanen's feelings and emotions, because I might move Wendell to the four, and Wiseman might be our new center, and Lowry becomes expendable. So, I mean, are there bigger things going on that we don't know about that they've identified from a talent standpoint? I don't know. I'm not, you know, I don't have that information. But the fact that they're all of a sudden, and it's not just Zach LaVine, there's multiple teams looking at other guys on this team, and that tells me that players are talking. Other organizations know that Bulls players are disgruntled, and they're waiting to see the collateral damage of the coaching decision. Will guys come out and say, get me the hell out of here and trade, and does that free up guys? So they're doing their due diligence right now. The Bulls are not actively shopping anyone. I know that for a fact, because they haven't even identified what they have. But teams are circling for a reason, and that's because this rebuild, as we see it, is slowly dying already. And now is there something bigger coming in 21?
Oy. I want to get back to something you alluded to, saying that it's more than just players in the building who are unhappy with Boylan as far as disgruntled. What are we talking about?
Well, I just think there's been some treatment, and it's not just Jim. I think there's been the current staff, the current makeup of the staff, and not even coaching staff, has rubbed certain personnel the wrong way. There's been people that have been empowered that shouldn't be empowered. There's just been people that have been propped up. And look at the GM situation. Okay, you hit Gar Forman, you basically were putting him out the pasture for almost a year and a half, 2 years, hiding him from the media, making him just a glorified scout, but pretending you actually still cared about the job he was doing as a GM. Well, while that's going on, look, this is an organization that feeds weasels, and when they see there is, hey, these guys are listening to my opinion now because Gar's out of the picture. So now I have more power. I have more say. My analytics now are now being listened to. And then Jim has openly even said that he felt like he was empowered to be CEO or GM with Gar out of the way. And there were guys that he identified that he wanted. When you do that, when the hierarchy is skewed and the hierarchy has no defined roles, then that's what weasels do. They attack. It's Game of Thrones, and it was on. And so I think there's a lot of people – or not a lot, there's a handful of people that went way out of their lane and really did some things that people felt were underhanded or just like, you know, you don't have the resume to be talking that way or acting that way. And so some of that falls on Jim, some of that falls on Gar, and some of that falls on Pax for not stepping in and saying, no, this is your lane, stay in it. This is my lane, I'm staying here. So and now that you have a new front office that's trying to get everything under control, they have to put people and say, no, this is your role. And I think that's why they came out quickly and said, Jim, just coach. We're just going to let you coach for right now, and that's all we want you to do. So those are those are the circumstances in the gist.
You know what's so funny is that we've come full circle from Michael Reinsdorf saying that Jim Boylan's difficulty, his tactical problems and coaching problems will be mitigated by the presence of Doug Collins, that he's around there and there's other coaches, because all Jim Boylan would talk about is, oh, yeah, I'm friends with Greg Popovich and Rudy Tomjanovich, and that means I'm not an idiot. Well, and so now we've come around to them saying just coach, that rather than it takes a village and having everybody there working with him to try to prop him up. And we don't even know, officially, is Doug Collins still affiliated with the team? Is Jim Paxson still affiliated with the team? These twin Svengalis that have been sort of wandering the corridors here, what's happening with them?
Jim is still in the Zoom meetings and active and talking about other personnel from around the league, from what I've been told. And Doug Collins is basically a Yeti. No one's seen him in months or filmed him in months. Who knows where he is? So I haven't heard his name. Ever since Jim kind of had the run-in with him and wasn't appreciative of how the staff was being viewed by Doug Collins, the coaching staff, you haven't really even heard Doug's name around the facility anywhere. So I think with John being moved to that advisor role, I'm going to guess and say that Doug Collins is probably out as any kind of advisor or special advisor to anyone. It seems that John is now kind of that consigliere that Michael will bounce things off of, or that Arturis could bounce things off of. So they haven't officially announced anything, but I haven't heard Doug Collins' name in months, to be honest.
As always, Joe Colley, you've succeeded in making me completely miserable.
All right, Dan, have a great Thursday, buddy.
So thank you for that. I appreciate the work, and I was hopeful that a regime change would be a regime change, but if a poisoned well is just that, it seems to be what we may have here.
He's got a couple months to try and unpoison it, but we'll see.
Thanks as always, Joe. Good health, man.
Take care. You too. Bye.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.